Amen, amen. So how's everyone doing? Hey, we are so glad you're online with us, so glad you're here in person, and as was just mentioned, man, God is at work here, and this is my last message. It's not my last Sunday. Last message, I should say, as your lead pastor, and it is surreal, but God is at work, and there is so much to be thankful for here at Overflow. Amen? You have an incredible staff, the Water's Edge Network. You are in great hands because God is orchestrating all of this. And I just want to encourage you that there are great days ahead for Overflow Church and for what God wants to do in this community. And it's my privilege to get into the Word with you today. I've done this over 450 times here at Overflow. And blows my mind. Some of you are like, yeah, and I sat through over 400 of them, and you know, and I am so thankful for that, if that's you. It is amazing what God has done over these almost 14 years, and today, as we get into God's Word, I'm going to go back to a text that is the original calling that God gave us as we came here in 2007, and I'm going to do that for a number of reasons, but we're in this awesome series called Amplifying Shalom. And it is this reality that there's a lot being amplified right now in our world. Yeah? And most of it isn't shalom. Most of it isn't peace. Most of it isn't wholeness. Most of it isn't the things that our God is about. But if God's people hear him and understand what he's saying, we can live larger than the reality that we find ourselves in. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What does it mean to live larger? To live larger and to have a life that really makes an impact, not just in this moment, but in all of the moments that God has ahead for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Online, let our hosts know you're there. Say amen, hallelujah. Let's do this together today, all right? And as we do this, you can turn to Jeremiah 29. And what you have here is a people, as we turn to Jeremiah 29, that are in a situation they didn't ask for, they didn't want. And in so many ways, that may feel to you like the moment you're sitting in right now. You may look at the last few months and go, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for all of the things that have happened because of a pandemic and because of political unrest and all of the things that are tearing the very fabric of our society in many ways apart. You didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for it. And in the same way, in Jeremiah 29, we have a people that didn't ask for their situation. But when life is pressing you down, you need to know there is a way to live larger. I had the opportunity yesterday to take my little girls to swim lessons. You know, we're moving to Florida. It's pretty important that they can know how to swim, right? And so we're almost there. They're getting there. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just reflecting on when I learned to swim. And I can remember learning to swim wasn't just the swim test. It was could you do the dead man float? And I think it was like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. I don't remember. But I remember that was the thing I was the most nervous about. Does anyone remember what the dead man float is? Yeah. It's that moment where you dive into the water and you sink. And you have all the water above you. And then your lungs cause you to fill with air, and the buoyancy brings you to the top. And suddenly you've been lifted out of the water. And I want to tell you that what God is doing in this passage today, what I believe he wants to speak into you, is that he wants to breathe life. That you may feel like you've been dead man floating. You may feel like you're buried and pressed down. But there is a way that God breathes life into us and his spirit lifts us beyond our circumstances. Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. You gotta tell me, you know, that we're here because this is a reality. We live in a time right now of amplified anxiety. We live in a time of amplified anxiety. And we as God's people are called to amplify Jesus's shalom, to let people know that there is life, there is hope, there is something bigger than what feels like it's pressing us down, tearing us apart, and dividing us. And so in Jeremiah 29, we pick up the story of God's people, not a person, but God's people, and what he was calling them to live larger. says this in verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives that he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away. First point I want to make today is if we're going to live larger, we're going to do it by living life intentionally. Life often can happen to us if we're not intentional. And what we see here is a people that are living in exile. And you need to know, like, what is an exile? An exile, it's the activity of exiling or deporting a people to a new location to live. You see, the Empire of Babylon had exported and exiled and pulled God's people into a new place, a new location. Life was pressing down on them. They were living literally under oppression. And some of us, as we think about what the last few months have felt like, may be able to relate. May be able to say it's felt oppressive. Maybe it's culture, things in our community, stay-at-home orders, masks, all of these things that may feel like oppression. And here's what we need to know. Theologically and biblically, we're all exiles if we're God's people. Because he's called us out of the world to be separate, to be different, to be his exiled people in the world. And so in that context, he's telling them, hey, live intentionally. Did you catch it? Plant gardens, build homes, have kids. Like, the way we live makes a difference in a community. And how we live daily really does matter. It makes a difference in how people view and experience life. You and the location you live matter and can make a difference in your community. Cindy and I have had the blessing over almost 14 years here of living in four different locations. Our first year, we lived in Stevensville. Our second through, goodness, 12th year, we lived in Benton Harbor in two different neighborhoods. And the last few years, we've lived in St. Joe. We've had a unique opportunity. And everywhere we lived, where we lived mattered. And the people around us, shout out to any of our neighbors, because you made our life better. And I hope we made your life somewhat better too. Because in every location, we have stories of how the address where we lived, of how God worked and showed us his love in and through all that he was doing. Community building begins at your address. And last week you heard from Pastor Chad. Shout out to Pastor Chad and a message on United. Like, you need to listen to that if you missed it. It was great and timely right now with everything that's going on. And so he laid out in front of us a neighboring chart. I think we have an example here or where you can go to get it. And you can go and get your neighboring chart, because here's what we want to do. We want to challenge you and encourage you that where you live matters. Your neighborhood is where community building and intentionality begins. And so, do you know your neighbors? Won't you be my neighbor, right? Okay? I mean, it's real that God says, love God, love your neighbor. And he's telling them, hey, in the middle of everything you're facing, what you do in that community, in oppression, is going to make a difference. Martin Luther said this, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. God doesn't need our good works. He's good enough without our good works. But our neighbor needs to know the goodness of God, and they're going to know it as we live intentionally, as we love them and show them what shalom and peace looks like. So what is shalom? What's it look like? Let's take a look. Verse 7. In verse 7, it says this, and work for the peace and the prosperity, that's the word, the Hebrew word shalom, is what is used there, of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Another version says that its prosperity will be your prosperity, meaning that if you're seeking the wholeness, the rightness, the healing of your community, that as it heals and prospers, so will you. How many of us just need to be reminded again that part of living larger is living bigger than just our own address and taking care of us? Living larger, what God is saying here is we're to seek shalom. We're to seek shalom of the people around us. A professor and author, Cornelius Plantinga, says this about shalom. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts are fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way it ought to be. Like, just think of it that way. Our life is not, apart from God and his work in our world, the way it ought to be. But if we're seeking shalom, we're seeking that things should be restored to the way they ought to be. That's exciting to think about because our world needs that. God's ultimate plan in our world is wholeness. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, what happened? We were separated from God in his wholeness. Sin broke us from him and from each other. And everything until Jesus' return is about restoring that shalom, that wholeness. That there's a God that says, I want that for you. And I'll give you glimpses of it. But when you, as the people of God, begin to embrace that and seek it and live it, others get to experience it. Shalom begins where brokenness is touched by God. Let me say that again. Shalom begins where brokenness is touched by God. Shalom doesn't mean that there's an absence of conflict or that there's an absence of brokenness. Actually, what it means is we bring all of it to God. And sometimes what is holding back shalom is our dishonesty about our own state of affairs. Oh boy, Pastor. Okay? You're like, how long is he going to go today? And is he going to say everything like that? I might. Okay? And I'll stick in a time frame. You don't have to worry about that. But I am going to be really truth-filled because I want the best for you and for our church and what God has ahead. And so we have to be honest. What we bring to God in our community and even out of our own life and the brokenness, that's when God begins to work and heal it. And we want to be the kind of people that says we want shalom. And so we're going to quit hiding those things. We're going to quit ignoring those things. We're going to quit pretending like they don't exist. We're going to quit trying to act like they didn't happen. We're going to bring it to God and say, God, please touch this. Please heal this. Please bring wholeness. Please do what only you can do. That's who our God is and what he wants to do. It's really encouraging. Some of you over the last couple of weeks took a survey. And we have data from 2019 and 2020 about kind of where was overflow then and where's overflow now. And it was so encouraging to see because one of the things that was kind of like a red flag in 2019 was how little we were reading our Bible collectively. We were praying a lot. We were inviting people to church, but we were not in God's word in the ways that we need to be healthy. Can I just put it out there? Amen. All right, so here's the good news. God touched that and has moved it to a next level. 2020, according to you and your survey, you are reading your Bible and are more engaged than ever in that. And that's exciting. Like, give yourself a hand. God is working. God is moving. We also saw within the survey an increase again in prayer. We are a praying church. I'll get to prayer a little bit later, but that's exciting to see how God is touching that and taking it to the next level, living larger. We also see more engagement in how often we're serving, which is incredible, how often we're attending groups, and your satisfaction and appreciation for our kids and youth ministries has gone up in the last year. God is allowing us to experience him and living larger. Y'all, let's find our joy. Just for a minute. Can we just celebrate what God is doing? And so God wants to take things to another level. That's who he is. He wants to heal and help us to experience more of him. Now check this out, though. It's not going to be without things coming against it. It's not going to be because, again, the exiles, they're living under Babylonian captivity. You and I are not, we experience God's kingdom, but we still live in an earthly fallen world. And so check out what the next few verses say in verses 8 through 10. It says this, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. How long? 70. What? That's a long time to be living larger. That's more than one generation. That means that this calling is not just for one person. It's for God's people. And there'll be baton handoffs from one season to another. Do you see where I'm going here? That in fact, they had to accept and understand that this was going to take longer than any of them anticipated, and that there would be moments where some of them were involved, and then somebody like me goes into a new season, and that doesn't mean that what God has called us to do to live larger stops. It continues by God's grace, because it's always bigger than one person. It's never about me or you. It's about we and what God is doing. Amen? Amen? And so it says, "But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again." So living larger, the third point I want to make here is it happens by listening to the truth. You know, truth is often less noisy than the lies. Think about the things that are being amplified right now in the news and social media, and somewhere in the middle of that is truth. A lot of times the noisiest things are not God's voice. God is often a gentleman. There's a whisper of the Holy Spirit that we have to listen for. Often the loudest noises are the lies. I just want to ask you, how are you discerning that in this season? How are you doing? Because clearly, if we get caught up in lies and listening to the wrong inputs and voices, we can lose our own peace, let alone the peace of those around us. God's called us to be a people that focus not on the lies, but are listening closely, that are laying down the lies and are hearing the truth. And so sometimes there's moments where we have to actually take an inventory. I want to just encourage you to do that in this moment or in the week ahead. What are some things that you've come to believe in this season that maybe aren't truth-based, that maybe are lies that have been being fed your direction, and God's saying, hey, I want you to have a funeral for those. I want you to bury those. I want you to let go of those. I want you to lay those down at the foot of the cross, and I want you to hear truth again. I want you to live larger than the lies. I want you to live for my truth. So what are those? Maybe some of them have to do with your own identity, things you've come to believe about yourself that are just flat-out lies from the enemy. Things that in the last few months you've just come to believe about your neighbors or about your church or about our region or about the government or a news outlet or a particular candidate. Whoa. It's real, isn't it? We need to listen for the voice of truth. We need to follow truth in this season. Set aside the things that aren't of God, because God is not finished. The work on the cross is finished, but God's work in our world is not finished. Remember in John 14, verse 12, he said, greater works are ahead. You will do greater works. What? Jesus, wait a minute. We're going to do greater things than you? Yeah, because he multiplied himself through the Holy Spirit in each of us. And there's greater plans ahead for you, for our church, for living larger. You don't believe me? Let's look at it in the Word, verse 11. Here's what he says to them. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We live larger when we trust God's plans, not the government's. Woo! I don't know where that came from. If you're online, I don't know either, okay? If you're here in person, I apologize. But here's the reality. Our hope is in God, not the government. And what he's saying is, listen, you're living under oppression. You're exiles. You do not place your hope in Babylon. You don't place your hope in them. You place it in me because I still have good plans for you. Let's just take a pause for a minute and remember the next 3 weeks, there's going to be a lot of things amplified between now and November 3. And there's going to be lots of opportunities to lose our shalom, lose our peace, and miss who our hope is really in. Amen. There's going to be lots of moments where we're tempted to fall out of that. And may we remember that it's not about a donkey. It's not about an elephant. It's about the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. It isn't about a political party. Amen. It is about him and what he is doing in our world. So pray through who you vote for, go vote, do all of those things. But that isn't where our hope lies. Our hope lies in him, and he's got great plans. And as many of you know, the best is yet to come based on this verse. That we can trust that when we live larger and we trust God's plans, that the best is yet to come. And in verse 11, I love what it says. They are plans for good. For good. And here's how faith and hope grows. Faith and hope grows when we feed on God's goodness. And I just want you to know that God has been so good to us here at Overflow. Amen. He has been so good, so good. And when we can see that, and you have your own story, right? You have your own story of how God has met you and encouraged you and has been good to you. And when we feed on God's goodness and faithfulness, our hope grows and it gets larger. And you and I need to have a lot of hope in this season. We need to feed on the fact that if God is good and he is for us, which is the central message of the Bible, that he has more ahead and it's going to be good. Yes? Guess I'll finish early today. No. Verses 12 through 14. Because if we believe that, it doesn't just pause and stop there. It isn't just that we trust God's plans. It's that we begin to seek him. We begin to pray. We understand that prayer creates a lifeline to God. Verse 12 and 14 say this, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land." That is a word for them, but it's a word for somebody else that needs to understand when we wholeheartedly seek God, when we pray, he returns us to our home. And you know where our home is in this season that we're in, where the Holy Spirit has been given to each of those that believe? Our home is with him. Our home is when he makes his home with us, where he looks at us and he says, "You're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You now have him residing in you. And now when you gather with others, it is larger. His presence goes up, it increases." That's why it's so important that we gather in worship and that we prayerfully seek God together. Here's the thing. This is a season for each of us individually to grow in our prayer life, but also for our church Overflow to grow in its prayer life. Transitions require greater dependency. Transitions require greater peace and unity and maturity. So I just want to encourage you during this time of transition to prayerfully seek God wholeheartedly, to do that with others here at Overflow, and to know God is faithful. The reality is God isn't good at hiding. You ever played hide and seek with a toddler? Like they just stink at it, don't they? Like they'll go and hide and they're like, you know, they come over here and they're like, right? And like you humor them. But in some ways, when I read this and then I read like in Luke 15 and 16, a God who's about the lost and the found and he welcomes us home. It's like, that's how I picture God. Like he's like trying to hide, but not really. And he's so obvious. And so when you begin looking and you begin searching, you're going to bump into him. You're going to find him because his heart is to be found. His desire is to be known. His desire is to be in relationship with us. And so a heart that is seeking God is always going to find him and find his help. I just want to encourage you, church. It has been such an honor to be able to share his word with you over 14 years. Whew, don't go there. I'm getting emotional. They asked me if I would. I didn't know. Here it came. It has been my honor and my privilege to just say, hey, here's what I see in God's word. Here's what he's revealing. And my hope is today that we have such an excitement about what's ahead, that we realize that seasons of change and transition are a part of being in God's kingdom. And that if we're a people that believe him at his word, and if we seek him wholeheartedly, he's going to be found in this season in new ways. He's going to be found in ways that we didn't see coming, that you didn't expect, that you begin looking for him, and you go, God, I think Pastor Brian just followed you somewhere else, so where are you leading us next? And you're going to find him in ways that you wouldn't have if I was still standing here. And I can humbly tell you, that's going to be incredible. Because your faith, the church's faith, is going to go to the next level. Amen. God is ready, and the best is yet ahead. And he wants to be found. Heaven rejoices when even one comes to know him. In Luke 15, 7, I just want to close here. It says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. What does this mean? In this season of seeking God wholeheartedly, you're going to find him. But I also believe if you're praying together for the lost, that others are going to find him. That you're going to see a move of God that ushers others into his shalom. That his spirit begins to tap others on the shoulder in the church, in the community, online. And others begin to receive him. Because it's never been about any one of us. It's about him. And there's a world that desperately needs him. And so if you don't know Jesus, now's the time. Now is the time where he's saying, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm available. If you know Jesus, he's saying, I have more for you. I have better plans. I have more I want to do. Will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you dig in? Will you let me lead you? You didn't ask for this. You didn't want this, but I'm going to show up in it. That's who our God is. Amen. And I want to pray for us along those lines. And if you're online right now and you don't know Jesus, let our hosts know. They would love to help you. Because our God welcomes everyone into his arms with joy and celebration. And so if you'll stand, if you're here, if you're at home, you can do that too if it's safe. I just want to pray a blessing over us. And we're going to go into a time of singing together and responding. And if you need prayer and you're comfortable with it, the altar here will be open. We'll keep masks on. Did you know you can pray for people at least socially distanced and God will still show up? We can do all of that. Because the best is yet ahead. And I believe when we seek him, we will find him. And so I want to pray right now that this would be a moment where we would seek him. And then we're going to sing about this great victory our God has. Because we're going to see a victory. You're going to see a victory. And you need to know we're here the next couple weeks. We're going to be cheering you on the next couple weeks. We're going to be present, and we're going to be coming back. This is home. This is the longest I've ever lived anywhere, which means I'm a little bit young too, right? But this is home, and so we'll be back. And the best is yet ahead, and our God has a victory. Do you believe it?
Amen.
All right, let me pray. Let me pray. Jesus, we love you. You have always been the center. You have been my and our everything. And we know when we seek you, we will find you. So I'm inviting you right now, online and in person, in this moment, to do a new thing. To allow our hearts to experience more of you. Father, I believe there's some heaviness and some burdens, some brokenness that needs your touch today. I'm just asking, you are the healer. You are the restorer. You are the renewer. And we know the best is yet to come. Father, I think there's others in this room that just like me are excited. And so for that, I pray that you would fan our excitement and expectancy into faith. We believe the best is yet to come, and we will see a victory. And so I speak life and blessing over overflow, that this would be a place that amplifies your shalom in Southwest Michigan and beyond. So Father, right now, as we worship you, meet us with your spirit and take us into what it means for us to live larger in this next season. We will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rush into his arms as we sing together.